It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. An environmental group sheds light on false and misleading information posted on social media about alternative diets as attempts to build up the dairy and meat industries. We examine the consequences on climate change. And now, as our year-end member drive at WPR is set to end today, we hear about listener-supported public radio. And I'm with Susanna Michaels. Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
And today, as I said, is the last day of the year-end member drive. It is your chance to support the news and conversations that you count on every day on WPR. And your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and we look forward to 2024.
And Kate, we're starting the morning with a bang. We have a dollar for dollar match, and it's a big one. We have $5,000. It's available to us for the next 2 hours. And this match is coming from Terry and Mary in Madison. They want to encourage you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now. It's a great opportunity on this last day of the drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you donate to WPR, you'll join more than 50,000 other members. You're in good company, and pooled together, your support makes up the largest source of funding for WPR.
Your support is really powerful. You make all the programs, all the news coverage, all the wonderful conversations that you value all day long, you make all of that possible when you join together with that group of 50,000. So make your gift now. Choose an amount. It will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether you come back here for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day and the week, you've become a regular listener because you value WPR. And if you've never given before, start off with a gift of $10 or $20 a month. It will be matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You're going to love becoming a WPR member.
I like the idea of being able to call in or hear other people's call-ins. I think some of the shows on public radio that got me asking, wait a minute, and suddenly I had a political awakening. My name is Ray from Eau Claire, and when I hear a program featuring a new author or a new book on WPR, it puts me first in line to run to our library to get that new book.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Susanna Michaels. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the news and the talk and the entertainment you enjoy on WPR possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And making that gift is easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Takes just a few minutes on a Friday to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Your support right now on this final day of the drive, it really makes a difference. It helps. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, we have this big dollar for dollar match going on right now. It is up to $5,000. So let's get started. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support for WPR will go twice as far.
Support WPR and showcase your love for Wisconsin with the WPR sticker pack. It is It's only available today with your gift of $8 a month or more. Ask for yours now, and you can add some WPR and Wisconsin pride to all of your belongings at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Today, make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that first year of gifts will be matched right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
Heard from Gabriel in Madison, who says, I love WPR's emphasis on local news stories, the diverse range of topics covered, and passionate coverage of news and issues. Gabriel, thank you so much for your gift. It is powerful. It makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A new study examines the false narratives about meat and dairy alternatives that are posted on social media and how plant-based diets are compromised by misinformation. We find out what is fueling these polarizing messages, and you can be part of this discussion. Call in with a question. Add your views at 800-642-1234 to talk. Email ideas at WPR.org. Maddie Houghton-Boakes is a senior campaigner for the Changing Markets Foundation, which creates sustainability campaigns for environmental organizations. Maddie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Changing Markets has been campaigning for lower methane emissions as a driver of climate change. How is animal agriculture and specifically beef production contributing to methane emissions?
Yeah, so methane emissions are kind of an overlooked greenhouse gas. So we all are super aware of carbon dioxide and the impact that that has on our changing climate. But methane is a really critical one that's actually over 20 years, 80 times more powerful than carbon dioxide. So it's really, really having an impact on the climate and warming up the planet. And 40% of human-caused methane emissions actually come from agriculture and food production. And livestock is a major contributor to that. The majority of methane comes from livestock. So it's a really critical one for us to address. And we know that in lots of places around the world, we have meat and dairy consumption and production that is above recommended healthy levels. And a really critical and easy way that we can draw down those methane emissions is by switching to healthier diets and having healthier diets, including more alternative proteins or just more fruit and vegetables. So this study that we did is basically looking at a lot of the misinformation around this topic, because we see time and again that people are being told things that aren't true, or they're being swayed into believing that this is a kind of attack on personal freedoms, when really it's just about following the science and making sure that people can live a healthy lifestyle and help reduce climate change at the same time.
You mentioned personal freedoms, and I want to pick up on that. What do you make of that argument that advocating for plant-based diets and alternatives to dairy and meat are an attack on personal freedoms?
Yeah, it's a really emotive topic. So what we eat, obviously, is very personal, and which is brings up a lot of emotion for people. But I think what these arguments are trying to make out is that our choices around food happen in a vacuum, and that people like myself and organizations like Changing Markets are coming in to tell people what to eat, when in reality, our day-to-day habits are shaped by the environments around us. So supermarkets or public advertising has a huge impact on what we decide to put in our shopping baskets or what we decide to put on our plates. And there's a huge opportunity there to reshape that so that people are encouraged to have healthier diets. But these attacks on alternative proteins are suggesting that none of that happens at the moment, but that we're coming in and trying to manipulate people into eating more plant-based food.
Maddie Houghton-Boakes with us, senior campaigner for the Changing Markets Foundation, as we examine climate misinformation posted on social media platforms and the impact on the climate crisis. You can join in questions and comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Maddie, in November, your organization published this report. It's called Truth, Lies, and Culture Wars. And it's about, you know, how meat and dairy are promoted on social media, particularly on the platform X, previously known as Twitter. What did your social media analysis find?
Yeah, it was a really interesting analysis. So we found that over a million, almost a million social media posts that were classified as misinformation from just over a year period. And of those, almost 80% of those are on the attack. So we examined the narratives and really found that there's a lot of accounts that are trying to attack plant-based alternatives, also attack the science around eating meat and dairy, and a huge amount are pushing conspiracy theories, suggesting that there is a global elite that is trying to make us all eat bugs and control our lives and take land away from farmers. So it's really, really divisive narratives. We also found that around 20% is focused on promoting meat and dairy to the point of misinformation. So taking science that suggests that meat is healthy, that it gives you certain nutrients, and then exaggerating that to the point of saying that if you don't eat meat, then you will be fundamentally unhealthy. Or also greenwashing meat, so suggesting that meat is inherently essential to a healthy biodiverse landscape. So lots of different narratives in there, but all of them kind of, you know, driving this polarizing and culture war discussion around meat and dairy, and taking it away from the science and away from trying to improve people's lives.
Maddie, were you surprised by the sheer volume of climate misinformation as you put together this report?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we know that around climate change, there is a huge amount of misinformation in general. Mm-hmm. And in some areas that has moved on, but it's obviously disheartening to see the extent that the misinformation is being picked up on, and the accounts that we came across. So 50% of the engagement for these 1 million posts were linked to just 50 accounts.
Wow.
And it's really shocking that those 50 people have so much influence over what people believe and what people understand. And I think that's where the misinformation becomes really troubling, is the amount of power that those people can have.
These accounts are run by people who claim to be doctors and wellness experts, or they're political figures. How active is the beef and dairy industry on social media?
Yeah, so the beef and dairy industry is definitely active on social media. The we didn't find within these accounts that they were the main perpetrators of misinformation, but based on previous investigations and our own work, we are able to connect up the narratives. So for example, this idea that that meat and dairy is essential for a biodiverse landscape, that is one that is pushed very regularly by the meat and dairy industry. So we are able to kind of trace across, even if they're not necessarily the accounts saying it, they're saying the same things. And there's been a couple of different investigations before which have shown certain industry figures who are actively seeking to spread misinformation on social media.
Is this climate misinformation and attacks on plant-based foods, is this more rampant on some platforms over others? Did you find any trends there?
Yeah, so our study mainly looked at X, as you said, because the information there is publicly available. Mm-hmm. We weren't, unfortunately, able to examine platforms connected to Meta, so like Facebook and Instagram, just due to the privacy natures of the data there. But I mean, what we did find is that it's huge discussion on X, also quite prevalent on Reddit. But that these really intersect with public media. So media companies, newspapers in different parts of the world picking up on the narratives that are being talked about on social media, and then that fueling or being connected to news stories that are going out, which obviously then amplify the misinformation.
So by studying this misinformation, quantifying it on social media, what are you learning about ways to communicate more effectively?
I think it really reiterates for us the importance of driving the science, driving the messages around the science. So we are, as most environmental NGOs are, evidence and science based. And I think it's easy for us to assume sometimes that that knowledge is accepted. And it really reiterates for us that we need to keep pushing that, and we need to get through to policymakers, but also the public, and win hearts and minds on this. I think discussions around how you overcome misinformation is a huge one that we're definitely not on our own capable of addressing. It's a global problem in a way. But I think for us, it's got a lot of lessons of, you know, really needing to think about how we're conveying these messages and who to as well.
The notion that climate change is real, that on some of these platforms is still being debated, contested, because it's not being taken as a given?
Yeah. And you know, we've just had COP28, the annual climate summit has just taken place, which, as the name suggests, has been going for 28 years. And it's obviously hard to see that there are still strong public skepticism over climate change. So we really need to just be kind of pushing that, but also making that link to meat and dairy production and consumption, because that is often overlooked.
Maddie, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this research.
Thank you so much for having me.
Maddie Houtenboeks is a senior campaigner for the Netherlands-based Changing Markets Foundation. It creates and supports market-focused campaigns on sustainability issues. And the report we looked at is titled Truth, Lies, and Culture Wars. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ahead, our conversations will take us to Green Bay, where we'll meet the director of the Brown County Library as the system is honored as Library of the Year. And now we get an update as our year-end member drive is wrapping up today. I'm with Susanna Michaels, and your financial support is the foundation for all these great discussions you enjoy here every day. So make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2023 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's such a great time to give. It is the last day of our drive, and we have this exciting dollar-for-dollar match in place. It's up to $5,000, so it's a great time to donate because Terry and Mary in Madison will double every dollar you give.
It is their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And in the last segment of The Morning Show, we learned about how our diet affects the environment and where the messages we hear about our diet come from and how they sway us. You know, what we eat is at the core of life itself, and I appreciate conversations like this that touch on so many issues, Kate, like not just diet, but climate and also information sources. And these are the kinds of conversations you can count on from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yes, WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes so many topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And that amount, whatever you choose, will be doubled. We just got an update from our producer that there is plenty of room left in that match for you. And when you make that gift, when you choose that amount, really the easiest way to be a member of Wisconsin Public Radio is to become a sustainer. That means you'll make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or a credit or debit card.
People give $10 a month, maybe give $15 or $20. You pick the amount that works for you and become a sustainer now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Then sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting the programs you value.
Introducing the limited edition WPR Sticker Pack, a collection of seven stunning stickers featuring Wisconsin's most iconic landmarks, from the shores of Lake Michigan to the bluffs in the Driftless area. Bring a piece of Wisconsin's natural beauty with you wherever you go when you give $8 a month or more for the WPR programs you value. Just like our state's natural landscapes, WPR is a treasured resource that keeps us all informed and connected. Your generosity fuels the news, conversation, and entertainment that we all rely on. This sticker collection is our way of saying thank you and helping you add a touch of Wisconsin and WPR pride to your laptop, water bottle, bike helmet, and more. It's only available today, so make your gift of $8 a month or more now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It is the year-end member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Susanna Michaels. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for WPR, and that is why your gift of, say, $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it will be matched right now dollar for dollar, and it has an amazing impact.
And this year-end member drive is a great time to make your last gift of the year to WPR. It takes just a few minutes of your time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you give, you'll have that good feeling of supporting the station you've enjoyed all year long and that you're looking forward to in 2024.
Our dollar for dollar match still in effect, and we have about $4,500 in the match to go, give or take. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And we do have this fun sticker pack. I just love that our member drive team is always thinking of great new ideas.
Stickers.
And our designer, Grace Lorenz, made a beautiful set of stickers. And it's available today only on this last day of our drive with your gift of $8 a month or more. So ask for yours now and add some WPR and Wisconsin pride to all of your belongings at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Your gift right now is so important. It makes a difference at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Brown County Library is named Library of the Year by the State Association. We explore the new efforts at this system and hear about challenges facing libraries. Now we get up to speed on this final day of the year-end membership drive at listener-supported WPR. I'm here with Susanna Michaels. You count on WPR for in-depth discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now, it helps in a big way, both this year and as we prepare to head into 2024. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And there are so many reasons to support WPR. We are listener supported. The programming is just amazing. It's the last day of our year-end member drive, and we have a dollar for dollar match up to $5,000. So Terry and Mary and Madison will double every dollar you give. It's their way of asking you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Run the numbers, and in a single month, there are hundreds of discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio. There is so much to learn out there, so many interesting people to meet, so many topics to discover. And when you support WPR with your donation now, you make all of these conversations possible. So take that simple, powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how often can you say that you get more than what you pay for somewhere? Well, WPR is a place where that is true every day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
And you just can't buy much for $2. But at Wisconsin Public Radio, that $2 a day, it really makes a lot of the news and the talk and the entertainment possible. It works out to $60 a month. And you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Like Kate said, there's just so much to learn and discover, and that's what you do every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. You rely on these conversations and to make life interesting and to keep your curiosity fed, and that's why your gift during our year-end member drive is so important.
So help us put a strong finish on 2023 so we can continue to discuss the issues in the months to come. Get in on this dollar-for-dollar match. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this match of up to $5,000 is available to us until 9 a.m., but we need to make some headway. We really want to honor the gift that Terry and Mary of Madison are making. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support for WPR will go twice as far.
Support WPR and showcase your love for Wisconsin with the WPR sticker pack. It is only available today with your gift of $8 a month or more. Ask for yours now and add some WPR and Wisconsin pride and, you know, add some stickers into your life. Why not? At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I do actually love putting a sticker like in my journal and sort of documenting what I was thinking about, what I was doing at that time. Well, Kate, one of my favorite things is to hear from out-of-state donors. We heard from Margaret in Philadelphia who says, we recently moved out of state but still listen to WPR online. The programming and hosts are the best.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
Philly in the house. I love it. Well, Elizabeth in Appleton says, we as a nation must have journalism, journalism that is well-researched and fact-based. Fortunately, Elizabeth says we have WPR. Thank you both. Join in now with your gift. It makes a difference at WPR.org. Get in on this match, dollar-for-dollar match, 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We focus on libraries in the Green Bay area as the Brown County system is recognized for distinguished achievement in service, named Library of the Year by the State Association. As we discuss the impact of libraries around Wisconsin, you can call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah Sugden is executive director of the Brown County Library. It's a system that includes a downtown Green Bay location and seven branch libraries. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, this year marks the third time for the Brown County Library to be named Wisconsin Library of the Year. How do your libraries and its services, how do they serve your communities?
Well, we're this is Titletown, so we are always seeking excellence in everything we do, and that extends, of course, to our library services. Libraries in Brown County are working so hard and so passionately and with such joyful determination and real love to meet the needs of our community. It is so interesting. It is beautiful work. Libraries are much different than they were 100 years ago, but the whole premise is really the same, help people prosper and thrive in whatever their individual pursuit is. It's so interesting. Mm.
As you mentioned, libraries are so much different than they were a century ago. Like checking out books and other items has become just like a part of the role of libraries. How are libraries evolving to meet the needs of their communities?
Oh, that's a great question. It's so interesting. While libraries themselves have been around for thousands of years, public libraries are a relatively new human invention. And it's exciting to be part of these efforts that are really sort of playing out what public libraries can do in communities. We know books, of course, are a solid way of consuming information, but we know now that other formats are equally successful and you know, perhaps work better for some individuals, whether they're digital resources or others, you know, other kinds of resources online. It's exciting, though. I've been working in libraries for 35 years, and it's exciting to see what has remained constant in libraries, even while some things have changed. That real need to, you know, that desire for libraries to provide access, you know, whether it is, again, to books and materials or to public computers or printers. My goodness, if anyone's printer runs out of ink today, they can go by their local library and print out whatever they need, that packing slip to mail a parcel or whatever. It's so interesting, the many useful ways in which public libraries support people in their communities.
What are you learning from the programs you offer that other communities could try or should know about?
Well, that's libraries are awesome at sharing ideas. And I will confess to all listeners and all librarians listening, I steal their ideas. Yes, great ideas are everywhere. And that's what's so wonderful about libraries is that we borrow or steal or, well, it's, you know, given freely these wonderful ideas, the impactful programs, the big ways and small ways in which libraries are really doing excellent work in meeting the needs of the community and removing barriers for folks to get what they need. So we are, you know, every library is really a hybrid, a blend of those best practices, those great ideas, really uniquely suited for or uniquely adapted for individual communities. Even within our Brown County, you know, with multiple locations and a bookmobile, you know, that every community within our own county is different and has different needs and different opportunities, too.
How do you use the bookmobile? Is that changing in where it goes and what you offer? Because bookmobiles, they, too, have been a concept that have been around for quite a while.
A long time, yeah. We've had bookmobile service here since the late 40s.
Wow.
And I love hearing stories of people who talk about what was it like as a child to see that bookmobile coming down the road and what it represented for individuals. We find that bookmobile is an awesome way for us to be able to get out and about. Transportation barriers are really a big challenge for folks in every community, particularly rural communities. And the more that we can get out and about and meet people where they are, the better. And for us, a bookmobile has been a great solution for part of the solution, right, for those challenges. We have a new bookmobile coming next spring. Can't wait to break it out. So we'll have to wait a little bit longer.
A new bookmobile, will it be larger, or what will be different about it in a newer version of a bookmobile?
Well, it's been exciting to be part of this process in determining what are those, you know, assets that a bookmobile should have. Mm-hmm. Certainly, it will provide access to technology. It is really a mobile library. It's a small library on wheels.
Wow.
Except, yes, I will confess, the bookmobile will have a bubble machine, and our physical libraries don't. So the stationary libraries don't have a bubble machine that blows, but the bookmobile will have that fun added feature. A bookmobile is a mobile library, so it's bringing computer access, printer access. You know, it is a Wi-Fi hotspot, so anywhere the bookmobile is, people can hop online and get access to those digital resources they need.
We're talking about the Brown County Library System as it is named 2023 Library of the Year by the State Library Association. Sarah Sugden oversees the countywide network. You can join in with questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So you have 8 total locations, Ashwaubenon, De Pere, Green Bay, Pulaski. Each location offering access to computers and Wi-Fi, how significant now is technology access as a reason why community members visit their libraries?
Well, digital access to computers is essential for success in our modern society. We saw that in the pandemic when physical locations were closed, so, you know, and everyone turned to online resources. If you didn't have the devices the internet connection and the skills to be able to access those resources, it was it felt like an impossible task for those individuals. Public libraries have, since the 90s, provided access to public computers and public printing. We offer scanning to email and faxing. Faxing has remained remarkably popular. Mm-hmm. And those really, that critical access. And that's true for, I think, 99% of the libraries in America, public libraries in America, offer that access. It is critical. We know that our broadband internet connectivity is real terrific for folks. I had once a woman tell me that she came to our library parking lot to upload some massive art files. She was a professional artist who had moved back to Green Bay from Brooklyn and was trying to upload some files for her business, and her home internet wasn't cutting it. But she was able to come to the library, upload the things that she needed, and, you know, continue her business without an interruption. So, too, we really had so interesting. How many people come to libraries and in the midst of, I've got a Zoom meeting in however many minutes, laptop open, really wanting to get, you know, get online and get connected to proceed again with their business or endeavors. It's really a critical It's a critical component of public library services, in my opinion.
So providing technology that costs, and when you examine your budget, of course, local libraries would get, I imagine, a portion of their operating revenue from the municipality in which they're located. But do you feel you have the adequate funding to run library operations?
I don't know whether any public library would say they ever have adequate funding, because the truth is public libraries can benefit communities in so many ways. I say, you know, we serve people from high to buy at every stage of life. And so when you consider the opportunities for service in the community through public libraries, it is only financial limitations that really prevent us from, you know, digging in and making differences in all of those areas of a human existence. So that is true. I think that public libraries are remarkable in the ways in which they use their resources effectively and thriftfully, and really try to get the most bang for the buck for their community members.
There's a proposal in the legislature that's gaining attention that would require parents to be notified whenever their children under 16 check out materials from public libraries. Libraries have to up to 24 hours to issue notifications. What is your view on this idea?
Well, all public libraries put parents front and center in terms of overseeing their children's experience and navigation of public library resources and spaces. That's true. In order to get a library card, a parent needs to sign and say, yes, I give permission. I had to when I was got my library card, and my kids had to, and it's true across our country that parents are legally responsible for children and have that responsibility. So we feel that those mechanisms for oversight are there because a parent, of course, signs for the library card and has access to, is able to see what their children check out up to the age of 16 under state law. So we feel that parents have that access and controls. And, of course, we are committed to maintaining those. So we feel that there are good safeguards in place ensuring that parents and caregivers and guardians have the control that they should have.
So what you're saying is parents already have this access that this proposal probably wouldn't be necessary because it may be just, I guess an extra step or showing what is already there.
In my personal opinion, I think that is correct. You know, the public libraries work so closely with parents to make sure their children are successful in the use of a library. That comes, you know, whether it's behavior issues or whether it's, you know, checking the materials. We know that parents and guardians are children's first and best teachers, and we know what, you know, we don't want to interfere with that responsibility and those rights of parents and caregivers. So that's why, you know, we have those policies already in place to ensure those.
So the Brown County Library Board is seeking to expand services to rural communities. What conversations are board members having about the system's future and where it could go?
Well, it is exciting work. We love library work, and we love figuring out ways in which we, you know, that we can better serve our community members and extend services. you know, while we know that financial resources are always a challenge, we also know that there are so many new and innovative ways of, that libraries are doing all over the country and the world, for that matter, of modifying and adapting services for various communities to, again, create solutions that will work in those communities. So we have a task force working and are really trying to figure this out. How do we, again, help our communities in every municipality in Brown County, not just the ones that have currently a physical location?
And then, you know, when will Village of Denmark Library Branch open? There are advancements there really quickly.
Oh, it's so exciting to share. Yes, we there's moving forward with our branch library in Denmark. I'm so excited to share that news. Working with the village and community group there has been a wonderful opportunity for the library to be part of a community project that will really be a great benefit and a blessing to the community there.
Sarah,
so that should be coming.
Go ahead.
No, just I'm excited about all the work and excited about public libraries in not only Brown County, but throughout Wisconsin. It's a really special state full of amazing libraries.
Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Sarah Sugden is Executive Director of the Brown County Library. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it is the year-end membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Susanna Michaels. Time is running out. The drive ends at 6 o'clock, and your gift now supports the news and the talk and the entertainment you rely on all year long at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we do have this dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from Terry and Mary in Madison. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on.
Take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In the last segment of The Morning Show, we learned about the Brown County Library System, Wisconsin's Library of the Year. I love libraries. I used to work at one, which you may not know. And like WPR, libraries are a public resource and treasure serving the entire community in so many ways. You get fun, interesting, important conversations like this all day long on Wisconsin Public Radio.
WPR is listener supported. It means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And that gift will be doubled. And today only, last day of our year-end member drive, we have this WPR sticker pack when you give $8 a month or more. It's a collection of 7 iconic Wisconsin landmarks, and it's fun, and it's lovely, and it's only available today. So make your gift of $8 a month or more and ask for your sticker pack now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I find Wisconsin Public Radio to have such a great variety of information and music. It doesn't insult my intelligence. It's wonderful to listen to. I love the fact that there aren't commercials every 10 seconds. I love the fact that the volume isn't blaring in my face and making me crazy. It provides me with all the kind of nourishment that I need in order to go through my day. I'm Chris from Eau Claire, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for balanced issues and stories.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this year-end member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Susanna Michaels. WPR's essential service. It is available to you and your community thanks to your support and your contribution. $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it makes a difference for our entire community.
And on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain and engage you any time of the day or night.
And what makes it all possible? That is you. You do. People who contribute make WPR happen.
Your gift of $100 or $10 a month, whatever you choose, makes a difference at WPR.org or 888- 202-2552.
We are chipping away at this dollar for dollar match. It is in effect. There is money there to match. We have about $3,725 left in this match. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
If you are a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose. And not only do that increase today, do it now while we have this dollar for dollar match in effect at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Shout out to David in Onalaska says, WPR is my go-to radio station every time, especially during car trips. David, thank you so much. Join David. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.